mind.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it just you?
I think so, but I just got on.
Okay. Let's give it another minute and we can start then.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
My grandson's here, so I'm going to go mute.
Okay. So we are starting with L'shem Yichud, and then we will study the fourth Aliyah of Parashat Ki Tisa. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Ukilu Ukilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yudhe Bovavhe The Yichuda Shilim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanane Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kananehu. The fourth Aliyah begins with Exodus chapter 33, verse 17, and completes with verse 23. A total of seven verses. The number seven, we know, relates to the seven lower sephirot, 7 days of the week, and many other sevens associated with the physical world, the seven seas, the seven continents, the seven notes in music, the seven colors in the rainbow. We will begin with the 17th verse. Vayomer Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohaheda Wanu Heyo El Moshe Gam Edahadavar Hazeh Asher Dibarta Ese Ki matzata chen be'enai wa'aida acha b'shem. I just want to make a comment on this verse. The first four words, Vayomer Adonai El Moshe Lev El Moshe. Those words are repeated throughout the Torah. They're very frequently. Sometimes they're a verse by themselves, and sometimes the verse is longer with additional words and thoughts. I don't know the reason why sometimes they're by themselves as a verse, and other times not. One explanation is because the number of verses is significant. When it says verse by itself, that's creating the kolel concept of adding one more verse to arrive at a number that has more specific meaning to the situation. But it is interesting to note, and when you're reading the Chumash, it's important to recognize and ask the question, why is this particular four words in that particular place where I'm reading it in the Chumash, why is that a specific verse by itself, or why is it not? Verse 18. Vayomar hareini na et kevodecha. In verse 18, you have the word vayomar rather than vayomer. And this does happen not as frequently as the four words, but with the vowel change, what is the true meaning of that vowel change? When you say Vayomer, you're using a segol. The segol connects to the sephirah of Chesed. The patach, well, it's really not a patach, it's the other one, the straight line, would be connecting to give to Bina. One is right column, one is left column. One is above the physical world, one is within the physical world frame of reference. I don't know the reason for the vowel change, but I know it's significant. Verse 19. Vayomer ani avir kol tuvi al panecha v'karati v'shem Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo lefanecha v'chanoti et asher achon verichamti, et asher arachem. Vayomer lo to call lirot, et panai ki lo irani ha'adam wachai. Vayomer Adonai yohe wahe, Adanu yo, yo ahe da wanu he yo, hi ne makom iti venitsavta al chatsur vehaya bavor kvo divasim ticha venikrad hatsur. Asakoti kapi alecha adavri vaasiroti et kapi veraita et achorai ufanai lo yerau. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. English translation, beginning with verse 17 of chapter 33. And Hashem said to Moses, even this thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my eyes, and I have known you by name. What is the idea of and I have known you by name? The sages hint that the meaning of that is that this is a unique soul that Hashem has chosen to achieve a certain correction, a certain task in the world. So when it
has joined,
that it's literally praising that soul for its the tools that it's been given that will be somewhat unique. But as I said, that's just a hint. It's not, it's the sages never come out right and say that, because Hashem does love each and every one of us for our uniqueness. And he said, show me now your glory. This is Moses' request for to be able to have a deeper understanding and a deeper connection to Hashem. And he said, I will let all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of Hashem before you. And I will favor when I wish to favor. And I will have compassion when I wish to have compassion. This is Hashem speaking. And in this verse, we are separating the concept of goodness and the concept of compassion. What is the difference in those concepts, that energy? From Hashem's perspective, because compassion is a goodness. Compassion is a form of mercy. There's a difference between love and mercy. We understand that from the level of the Sefirot. But what is goodness? Goodness is pleasures. Goodness is joy and happiness. That's the effect of goodness. Compassion is an injection of mercy into a judgment. A sweetening of the judgment is the way the Hebrew phraseology tells us. But this verse helps us understand those distinctions. Verse 20. And he said, you will not be able to see my face. For man shall not see me and live. This is a very famous verse. It's a sense saying that there will always be something concealed about Hashem from mankind. And it shall be that when my glory passes by, I will place you into the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. The word rock is one of the many names of Hashem. The word rock implies non-movement. A cleft of the rock means there's only one direction to perceive out of. Which is a hint to us that Hashem is so complex from our perspective, with so many different attributes, that we can only see a limited amount of the totality of Hashem. It's a way to really, if you contemplate this concept, you're going to arrive at a deeper level of awe. Verse 23, then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And the word back is a code for something within the Kabbalah. The back represents a lowering of the intensity of the energy. The back of Chesed is Givurah. The back of Givurah is Tiferet. again, contemplating this will give you a very deep perception. That's the completion of the English translation. We will move to the Perek Shirah. Are there any questions about the reading today? We are still on page 12. This is the 10th paragraph in chapter 5 on page 12. Ha-yod ha-sadeh omrim baruch. Baruch atov ha-meitiv. This is a verse from the Talmud, from the section known as the Brachot. The wild animals are saying, blessed is the one who is good and bestows good. There's great wisdom in this verse, but the question one might ask is, why is it being given from the Talmud rather than from the Torah, the Chumash? And one answer is to understand that the Talmud was never to be written down. It's the oral law, the oral tradition. And there are many of the sages who comment that the worst thing that ever happened to the Judaism was the writing down of the oral law. Because once something is written down, even if you have competing thoughts and you don't resolve those competing thoughts into a single explanation, which is what the Talmud does, many times, you're putting cement on the process. It's much more difficult to change if it's written down. If somebody speaks to you orally, maybe you heard clearly, maybe you understood it one way and he meant it another way. There's room for interpretation. If it's written down, there can still be some interpretation, but that interpretation will never be as broad or as wide. Now, why is it called wild animals? What is the concept of wild animals as opposed to domesticated animals? Domesticated animals are like cows and sheep and goats. They are close to man. Wild animals, lions, tigers, and bears. Sometimes they will injure man. Sometimes, God forbid, they will kill man. But in that context of the wild animal being more distant from man, and even something distant from man is praising Hashem and is establishing something that's very significant. I can bestow good. I can do someone a good deed. I can do someone a helping hand. I can do someone a mitzvah. And I'm not good. I don't have a proper consciousness. I'm doing that mitzvah, that good deed, that goodness to give to someone with a consciousness of my own desire to receive, of expecting something in return, or because I'm doing it because I'm choosing to feel good by doing that action, because I'm giving, sharing, doing that good deed to someone I consider beneath me. But Hashem is good. His essence is good, which is another way of saying his essence is holy. And his action is good. His action is always good because he is good. There's no way Hashem can do something that is not good. We can perceive it. Oh, this hurts, therefore it's not good. But that's a false statement. It's a false conclusion. Because if someone is doing something for a child in the form of discipline, it's to teach a lesson. There's an ultimate good. From Hashem's point of view, he is good. Man may not be good when he does these good deeds, when we do these mitzvot. We may not have the right consciousness. Well, that just happened. I've been having problems, as you've heard me express a few times in the last couple of weeks, with my computer. Literally, a window that I have open closes, and it's not something where I hit the X and I was trying to close it, or that I hit the X by mistake and it closed. You know, I was the, my action closed it. It just closed. Let's see if we have enough time to open it up again.
You know, Hanok, you're not the only one. My internet does that too. Sometimes I'll go to a certain site, and all of a sudden, something else will come up that I didn't even, you know, want. Or it'll close, or it won't open. So I think it's something with the air, the airwaves. Right.
Well,
now,
I have a different interpretation on that, Randy, but
I know God doesn't want us to hear it right now, so he changes it.
That's a better interpretation, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, I want to, about the animals, you know, because I'm
yes.
an animal lover. Okay. Domesticated animals we eat, and wild animals eat us. So domesticated animals have a chance to be uplifted, you know, when you have them for dinner, and then you say a blessing over them, then you can uplift them. But I don't know how you would uplift a wild animal. I guess if you killed them and ate them, you could say a blessing on them.
Well, there are tribes in Africa that eat lions. They eat elephants. They eat tigers. So maybe they don't say a blessing and they're not elevating them. But the fact that a man is eating that particular animal, there's a breakdown of the components. So the essence of that animal is coming into the man. That's why we as children of Israel do not eat those animals. Because the energy of those animals, we cannot withstand. They will draw us down to their level.
Well, you know, that makes sense, because people that they call cannibals, the reason that they ate their enemies was to gain strength, whatever that enemy, whatever strength they thought that enemy had, they wanted to take that into their body. Makes sense. And the reason I say cannibals is because the area I come from, before it was actually really settled by people, well, there were people, but they were cannibalistic. They were cannibalistic Indians here first. So I guess that always brings that to mind, people eating people.
That's for shalom. But one of the, I found very interesting when we heard about various incidents in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, where planes crashed in the upper reaches of the Andes in South America, and that the people, in order to survive, needed to, in their opinion, they needed to consume another human body.
Right.
At the time, I was beginning to study Kabbalah, and when I heard about these things, I just put it in the relationship of tikkun, and that there were, back when there were many cannibal tribes, that tikkun needed to be corrected, and it could only be corrected in that way. And that's why those people had that experience.
Well, that's interesting. Thinking that they had been cannibals before, they had been cannibals before, and the ones that they consumed, the ones that they consumed, they had a cocoon with, because the ones that they consumed were the cannibals, and they were the ones eating, and so now they're the ones eating, and the others were the cannibals, but not in this life. That makes sense.
Yes, but always remember, that's just my opinion. It's not something I've read or been taught by a teacher.
But it makes a lot of sense, because everybody we run into, we have a cocoon with.
But I'm going to use that statement as a teaching moment.
Okay.
Or it does not have to make sense. Torah is coming directly. It's the soul of Hashem. It does not have to make sense. It's a recommendation. It's a direction. It's not a command, because we know that's an idol worship aspect. But it is a rule book that if we follow, we will grow spiritually, and we will remain in a state of joy and happiness.
So,
that's the recommendations. Well, that is my understanding of what is Torah.
So you're saying that it is what it is?
No. It is what it is a phraseology that says, I abdicate my responsibility.
I didn't know that. Thank you.
Well, if you think about the phrase, what are you saying? It is what it is. I accept it. I won't change it, but I don't like it. And that's not what a human being's responsibility is. Human beings' responsibility is to elevate sparks, The human being's responsibility is to make the world a better place, and ultimately a place that Hashem's holiness can rest, can be revealed. That's the meaning of Mashiach. Hashem's holiness can be revealed. And when you say it is what it is, you're saying, I don't like this because I know it's not good. I don't want to try and change it because it's too much effort.
Well, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Well, just remember, you're welcome, but just remember, that's my opinion. You have to make your own decisions as to whether I have validity in that area or not. We are out of time, and I couldn't get it open, so we'll just live with the one paragraph today. And hopefully the world will be right, and my computer will function properly. But if not, I'm still planning to have three classes today. The 11 o'clock class is the Musar class, where we are reading The Path of the Just, and we're in chapter 1. At 4:30, these are all times are West Coast times. At 4:30 is a deep Zohar class. And our 7 o'clock class tonight is questions and answers. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful day.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom. Have a great day.
You too.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom.